America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in to another edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined by the esteemed football radio talker, Jay Binkley. We got a lot to talk about today.
There's a lot of steam when I walk in the walk outside, yeah. Chris. That's the only steam you're talking about.
Very, very, very humid out here.
Today's good.
There's been so much that has happened in the world of college football in the last 2 weeks.
What's happened? I haven't seen anything.
Colorado dipped for the Big 12. So now Coach Prime is going to be in the Big 12 next year, barring any catastrophic first year at Colorado in their last year in the Pac-12. And then, on top of that, last week, after the Pac-12 did their presentation, George Kliavkoff did his presentation for their potential TV deal that they would have had with Apple TV. Five more teams dipped from the conference. Oregon and Washington put up two fingers. They're head up to the Big Ten. And then Utah, Arizona State, and Arizona have also joined Colorado as teams that will go to the Big 12 next season.
It's easier just to have many teams are left, Chris.
I know, it's four.
Washington State,
it's
Oregon
four left.
State, Cal and Stanford.
That's it.
They're at the close shop or something.
So we'll talk about conference realignment. That's the biggest thing. We're also going to do a preview of the quarterbacks in next year's draft class. Obviously, Caleb Williams is at the very top of this class, not just with quarterbacks, but overall. Who else could we look at in that class? We'll talk about that. And then finally, now that we are about at the halfway point for teams' training camps in the NFL, we're going to talk about, A, who impressed us in that Hall of Fame game last Thursday that was on Thursday Night Football, and also, who else from this class, who else that we talked about back in the spring on the podcast is performing well in camp? But first, we got to get to the biggest story, which is conference realignment. As I noted, six teams now in the last 2 weeks have dipped from the Pac-12 for next season. They have told them, we are no longer going to be here. Oregon, Washington, going up to the Big Ten. Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, now in the Big 12. Is this good for the sport, Bing?
You know, it's good for football. Let's put it that way. I like it with football. But again, I'm not worried about moving the rowing team around. And they're going to have issues. Like Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of Missouri, brought it up. He's like, we can do whatever we want. But we asking them. You asking the other students, so you have to go rowing from Stanford all the way out to the East Coast. Stanford's a bad example because there's the Pac-12.
Yeah, they're still the Pac-4
now. But Washington,
now.
Let's take Washington. Washington's outside of football and basketball. You got to take those teams, they fly commercial, and fly them across the country. Okay? That part doesn't make sense. But I would like to see that more regionalized, sure, but that's a mess. When you start putting teams in different conferences for different sports, we've seen it happen with Missouri and wrestling because the SEC doesn't have it. We've seen this. I'm okay with it because I think we're moving towards what's going to happen in next year and the year after. You're going to see things dissolve. College football playoffs are already run, not by the NCAA. They're run by the College Football Playoff Committee. I think we will get to a point to where there's more equitable split because right now the Big Ten will have 18 teams. And the 16 for the SEC and the Big 12 at this point. Keep in mind, I say at this point.
Yeah, because it could change next year.
Florida State might try to find a way to get out of the grant of rights and stuff like that. And yeah. They've already looked into some.
They might try to make a jump with Clemson to the SEC.
They've already looked at ways to maybe do it. And I know the Big 10 would be interested in them too. But the bottom line is, what do you do with playoffs then? Because then you got to figure out a way so you're not getting as many reps from your conference. Are we going to see essentially the ACC, the Big 12, the SEC, and Big 10 combined in one big group, regionalized? We don't know where it's going. Because there will be, I think, eventually a commissioner for college athletics, and especially football, because this thing's all over the place. These guys don't know what they're doing. I mean, they're transferring. College football needs a roadmap at this point because you have so many quarterbacks that are different places now. Or not just quarterbacks, just players hopping in the portal and gone. On the next thing, now we got teams basically hopping in the portal and moving to another conference. Coaches do it all the time anyway. And I've got no problem with the athletes getting the money and whatever. That's all secondary and it's on the side. But I'm okay with this for football because I think it's created some really, really fun college football, Chris. As a purist, you think, I mean, Oregon and Ohio State was fun when they mixed it up anyway. And now they're going to be in the same conference. Now, you're not going to play all those teams every single year. But think about the Big 12. You get the Arizona State rivalry back. You've got Utah and BYU rivalry that's always been a rivalry going at it strong. So they've been able to keep some rivalries together. So from a football perspective, I think that it's good. And I wish the Big 12 would have gotten Oregon and Washington. I like Utah. They're a good football program. I would like to see Oregon and Washington in the Big 12. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Arizona and Arizona State don't give you much in regards to football, but hey, we'll see what they can do down there in the Big 12, but they have not been powers.
So, obviously, there's going to be some good matchups that come out of this.
Oh, I think it's been great matchups.
Oregon against a lot, you know, Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State. That'll be fun.
It's a tough conference.
But I'm kind of a purist when it comes to the whole conference alignment. I hate the fact that Mizzou left to go to the SEC. I don't think they're an SEC school. I think they're a Big 12 school masquerading as such.
But I'm good with that because, I mean, they're in the club, man.
I don't think they're in the club, though.
They are in the club.
I don't think they're in the club like that,
They're in
that,
the club.
Though.
They're chilling with the cigar in the club.
I mean, they're getting club money, but I don't think that, like, I as a Florida fan, do not view them at the same level. Like, them, Arkansas, you know, Arkansas's been in for a while, or Texas A&M, I don't view them the same that I view Florida, Alabama, LSU, schools like Georgia, schools like that. I don't view them like that.
You view them like South Carolina or Kentucky or Vanderbilt.
I don't even, because I still think like Vandy and South Carolina are still, those are SEC schools.
Pinkle had them in the SEC title game for two straight years.
Yeah, and that was. And that
but
was,
they didn't parlay that in
but
anything.
That, and that was great. That was when Florida and Georgia were down. And, yeah. And so like the division was for the taking there in the SEC East. But like, I don't think that they fit in culture-wise. And that's my thing. To me, what was great about like Mizzou being in the Big 12 was the culture, the rivalry that they had with KU, with K-State, and all the other schools around it. Very first college football game I ever watched, Mizzou, Iowa State, 1996. That's the first game I ever watched. That's when I finally figured out that there was football on Saturdays, because I've been watching the NFL for 3 years at that point, and I was like, oh man, it's great. We got football on Saturdays now. This is great. And all these states have schools. That's awesome. I like the regional aspect of college football. I like those rivalries. You remember when Mizzou left the Big 12? And they're one of the greatest rivalries in college sports, KU and Mizzou, was basically on hold for years. Because of that, it was.
But you look at the new look Big 12, and Arizona State even put out there said their travel's not much worse because you got Arizona still, Utah, Colorado. They got all these schools, so they're not really.
Yeah, but they
got
to move time zones
to West Virginia. They would go from the mountain to the central a lot, but also then there's West Virginia that's kind of the outlier of the situation. It just, I'm just baffled as to how bad the Pac-12 did things. When Larry Scott took over as commissioner, so they go outside of football and bring in a guy that was a tennis commissioner, Larry Scott. And he came in and created six networks, seven with the national. They had the national Pac-12, and they had six regionals. Like Arizona, Arizona State were in their own. UCLA, USC were in their own. It was a hell of a package. And the way it's dissolved, it's funny, too, this quote here by the Arizona president, Bobby Robbins, on selling Apple package. Like, Messi ain't helping here, Chris. We were trying to think, well, it's going to be like selling candy bars for Little League, Apple. And I get it, man. It's a big corporation to partner behind. Messi, they're doing it. They're trying that with Inter Miami, you know, giving him a fee for it. But Verizon listeners and everybody else are with those cell phones, they get it free. So how many new subscriptions are you going to get? And plus, I think people are tired of, you know, hopping on. Like, Pac-12 people might buy this to watch their games. But I'll tell you this, there's nobody in the Midwest or in the South that's going to buy Apple just to watch your Pac-12 games.
I ain't buying it to watch Pac-12 football, no.
They're not doing it, and they realize that. But the Pac-12, remember when they were going to poach everybody? I remember when I first interviewed.
They were going to poach Big 12 teams.
One of my first interviews in radio was having Bob Stoops on back when he was at Oklahoma. He's like, yeah, well, I look forward to New Horizons, maybe. Talking about the West Coast. Like, whoa, there's a quote right there. And because they were going to take Texas, and they were going to take Oklahoma to the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pac-12 gladly would have done it. Pac-12 was talking about their stability all last year. They were in poach mode. But then when UCLA and USC got snagged from the middle of the night, things started. Arizona and Arizona State have always wanted out. They've always wanted out of the Pac-12. And the Big 12 is being forward thinking. All right, we'll put them in our conference. Because we lost Texas and Oklahoma. But the Big 12, they've created a lot of anybody's ballgame. Like Kansas State now. You look in there, one of the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hours of the Big 12. You have Texas and Oklahoma this year, but after that, anybody's ball game, man. TCU every once in a while is going to rise up and have a good year. K-State's always going to have a good year. Somebody else, Iowa State, will rise up and have a good year every once in a while. I mean, the Big 12 is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
I think the regional aspect, especially, you know, we live here in Kansas City. Kansas City is this confluence of all these fans from all these different schools who root for, I mean, we got people from Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, everywhere. And we're starting to lose some of that now. You know, we're losing the Sooners fans. They're not going to be able to be a part of this college culture here now because they're going to be pretend SEC fans. You know, same thing with Mizzou being like that. We don't get to engage in that as much as we used to. Like, Kansas and Missouri aren't going to play football again until 2025. Yeah. And that'll be the first time that they played in 14 years at that point.
At least we're getting 12 playoff teams after next season. Maybe. I think they're eventually going to go to 16.
Yeah, I think so, too. I hate the fact that it comes at the, like, all of this expansion, all of these changes around, these good matchups we'll get, comes at the cost of the local rivalries that we get in this sport that I think make college football so much.
And the Rose Bowl's no more, because what they're going to do is, after this year or whatever, it's going to be in the college football playoff as a semifinal, but then it's going to be a quarterfinal beyond that, that it's always going to be in the rotation. Like, it's always going to be, so it's still going to be there, but as a regional rotational game.
Right, yeah. So it'll be important, but it won't be the same.
But it'll be in the rotation for the college football playoffs still.
Now, as for the athletes, how does this affect their ability to go out there and perform as student athletes? Because remember, they have to study too. They have to get good grades too. How does that affect what they do at the student athlete level?
I think it gives them more national exposure. When you take Caleb Williams is not going to benefit from this because he's on the West Coast still with the Pac-12 now. But take a player like that. All of a sudden, you're playing the big dogs in the Midwest, and what you have is these West Coast schools or the Mountain Time Zone. They're being showcased out there, plus in the Central Time Zone. So they're not getting lost in the shuffle. I think it's good for them. Like, I think it's good for a lot of the Pac-12, you know, guys you're not normally seeing, but now you will see them as part of the Big Ten or the Big 12, some of these guys that play out on the West Coast. So I think it's good for them, in particular, to showcase their talents on a national scale.
I think it's going to be tough for the Arizona teams because they're not Mountain Time Zone.
Arizona schools are.
They're not Mountain. Arizona's not. Arizona doesn't follow daylight savings time.
They don't follow daylight savings time, but they are Mountain.
No, they're not.
So they're 1 hour.
During most of football season, they're 2 hours behind. So they're technically, even though they're not Pacific, they're technically Pacific. They don't follow because, like, during daylight savings time, the country moves forward.
They stay the same.
But because they don't move, they're actually in Mountain Time.
If you Google them, I think it actually puts them in Mountain.
It will technically put them in the Mountain Time Zone.
They fluctuate between both.
But they actually are Pacific during... Because I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, so...
They're Pacific
right now, but as soon as we end daylight savings time in early November, they're Mountain. So, like, they're technically for most of the season going to be in Pacific.
The spring
time
training,
zone.
You get the games are 1 hour behind, and all of a sudden they switch to two hours behind because they don't move.
Because when the sun season starts, the games are 2 hours. They're usually like a 9-something, and then they move ahead an hour when daylight savings time ends. So, like, those athletes in all those sports, they're going to be at a disadvantage, you know, if and when they have to go play teams like a West Virginia or UCF or, you know, anybody like that, Cincinnati, who are Eastern. So that's going to be a big problem, I think.
But true Mountain Time Zone schools in Utah, BYU,
yeah,
Colorado. You do have three traditional mountain teams there.
And
as of right now, it might as well be Pacific time.
Yeah, but Arizona State, because they're not great, they're probably going to be playing a lot of late games.
I know.
And I feel bad for them if they got to go ahead. They got to play earlier, and the times are going to throw off. Or what happens if it's a team who's Central or Eastern, and they got to play? What would essentially be 9 or 10 o'clock, whatever, from whatever
we
time
fall back in what end of October
early. It's early. It's like the first weekend.
Then they're just November. 1 hour behind instead of two.
Right. So like things.
So half their season's 2 hours behind. And
yeah. So I'm saying. So like it's going to be trippy for them.
They're both Mountain and Pacific.
I just think that the regional aspect is really, really good for these. And I think it's going to create some issues for the athletes. Moving on. We've been previewed last week. We previewed last time we did the episode 2 weeks ago. We previewed our wide receivers for the 2024 class of the NFL draft.
Which we liked.
Very, very strong wide receiver class. This past year, not super top heavy. I think once you get to the middle, it's pretty good. But at the very top, it's not. There's not like anybody you look at and it's like surefire elite. Now for the quarterbacks, though. Quarterbacks, pretty decent at the top. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. This year, though, you've got the incredibly hyped up Caleb Williams at the very top of this quarterback class, at the very top of this draft class in general. I mean, you're hearing some comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, which we talked about last time we were on. Don't think it's very fair, but, you know, it is what it is. He's getting those comparisons. But we've been watching the draft for a long time. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks who were hyped up really heavily early on in their college careers. And they had some years of eligibility left, so they had a lot to lose after you start hearing them being talked about as being the top quarterback in their first draft eligible draft class. Caleb Williams now is going to have so much pressure on him, not only because there's going to be Heisman expectations, but also now people are going to expect him to go out there and continue to be great. And he has nothing to gain right now, but he has everything to lose. How much, like how tough do you think it's going to be for Caleb Williams to go out there and live up to the hype this year with all that he has to lose?
I don't think he's ever going to live up to the hype, but he might. I mean, he might stand up and be able to do it, but he's the type of quarterback that he's got that makeup about him where he's not going to struggle. I just don't see it from Caleb Williams. He's never shown that indication of doing it. He may slip down. I remember Josh Allen didn't have a good year as last year at Wyoming, as good as he did the year before. But Caleb Williams can. And this quarterback class, Chris, I mean, most mocks you look at, there's 9 and 10 quarterbacks being drafted the first round, at least at this point.
Ridiculous number.
At this point, it's a ridiculous. But you know what? That's good for the Chiefs. The more quarterbacks you throw in the equation, it means there's more guys going to be left there at the end. So you want 9 or 10 quarterbacks. You want the Caleb Williams and Drake Mays and Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix and Quinn Ewers and Joe Milton at Tennessee and hell, Shakur Sanders, Deion's kid at Colorado, and KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. Spencer Rattler, even at South Carolina.
Who's been considered like a first-round pick the last 2 years
before. He's been considered like the number one overall. Then it was number two.
Until 2 years ago, he was the top quarterback.
But even J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan, he could go early too, maybe the second round. A lot of these guys are going to fall to the second round. You know that's how it's going to end up working out. There's only going to be maybe 5 or 6 of them that end up in the first round. But when you start seeing the buzz on maybe 10 of them in the first round, I like that because that means there's other quality players that are going to be there. So if you're picking 32, you're all of a sudden picking 22 if there was 10 quarterbacks taken.
Yeah, I don't think I think a lot of those numbers that we're getting as far as like 10 quarterbacks taken in the first round, I think a lot of that just has to do with a lot of people not knowing who's good in this class, because usually we have a large list of underclassmen who are not draft eligible, but you can see they look the part. You know, maybe they showed some flashes when they were playing as a backup, or maybe they came in the middle of the season because of an injury and they showed some flashes. And now the upperclassman that's ahead of them has graduated or gotten drafted, and now they're going to get their opportunity. And so you're going to hear people go out here and put these names out there. You know, we saw it last year with some of these quarterbacks. Like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, from their freshman years, were being talked about as being star quarterbacks that are probably going to go at the top of the draft. So generally, you have enough guys that you hear about that you're very sure that when they are draft eligible, they're going to be drafted in the first round. And so there's generally a good mix of guys that are being put out there at different positions. This year, though, I think there's so many question marks about so many positions, especially because a lot of these guys came in during the COVID years, and that meant they had to sit a little bit longer because those players who were playing during the COVID years were playing a lot longer because there was an extra year of eligibility that they were given. And I really do think that probably affected mock drafts for at least the next couple years, because a lot of these guys don't quite have the same level of experience. I think for Caleb, the thing I worry about, injury, that's going to be the one thing. Like, that's number one thing right there is injury. Like, I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba's draft stock fell because of the injury concerns, because he didn't play a whole – he had the hamstring issues the entire year, so – that's part of it. I also think the other part about it is there was another USC quarterback years ago that was named Matt Barkley, who was kind, he wasn't quite in the same position. He wasn't being compared to like Tom Brady or anything at the time, or Aaron Rodgers. But he was still very highly touted as a player the year before he was, the first year that he was draft eligible. He decided to stay for a year and complete his degree and all of that. And then in 2013, he comes out to the draft and he ends up being picked at the top of the fourth round because his draft stock fell. And what was, by the way, one of the worst, in one of the worst quarterback draft classes ever. That was the one where EJ Manuel went as the top quarterback at 15th overall to Buffalo. I kind of worry that Caleb could fall into that situation where he doesn't quite live up to the hype, and you have teams kind of talking themselves out of not taking him simply because they have more tape on him.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. gets picked first.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a or maybe one of these tackles, or maybe one of these edge rushers, because it's a good tackle class, good edge, you know, not quite as good, but a pretty decent edge rusher class at the very top. And yeah, I mean, or you know, like you said, Marvin Harrison Jr. could be number one overall in this draft class.
All these teams looking for quarterbacks, because there's a bunch. This is the draft class to do it. I looked at one mock today. We got like eight guys to the 19 picks.
Yeah.
Because they have Sanders and Randall are going.
Right.
They didn't have J.J. McCarthy going in that first round. But there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken. Right now, it's Caleb Williams. He's 1-1 at this point. And I guess it all depends on who's going to be picking the one.
Right.
And if it's the Cardinals, what they done with Kyler, they're going to move on. Because probably moving on would be the best thing for them. But, and we see more and more teams, you know, hey, we don't need to draft this, or we do need to draft it, because they don't keep them much any longer. You're gone.
Yeah.
Like the, remember Rosen?
Rosen got 1 year in Arizona.
Move.
He got 1 year.
And they move you. That's what the NFL does now. If you're not good enough, they'll move on.
Yeah.
Like the Jets, they're looking at the Zach Wilson problem. What do we do? What do they do with Zach Wilson when Aaron Rodgers?
He got 2 years.
Is he going to be developed in that time? Well, there's going to be plenty of quarterbacks to go out there and take. So if there's 8 to 10, hoping there's higher up to 10, but could be 8. Clearly it's Caleb Williams. It's Drake May. That's your top two quarterbacks.
Who else? Besides Caleb Williams and Drake May, like I agree with you. Those two guys are I think, unless Drake May has a disastrous year.
Some people say KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. I'm not buying that one as much. Quinn Ewers at Texas is getting a lot of run.
I've seen a lot of Quinn. Michael Penix Jr.
Penix is looking maybe top 10.
Yeah.
The former Indiana quarterback that played at Washington last year and will play again there this year. Shakur Sanders is starting to get some run.
Shadur Sanders.
Yeah,
he's gotten some run. I've seen Riley Leonard from Duke as an option. I doubt that. J.J. McCarthy, obviously you brought him up. I really doubt that. I don't think he's
a first rounder.
I think he's probably like a maybe late, like a third round guy. Rattler, I think he's going to be a third day guy. Rattler was a guy again 2 years ago, top quarterback rated in the draft class. And then he fell off after having a pretty bad year at Oklahoma. And then he transferred, went to South Carolina, wasn't great last year. And now is he still at South Carolina, or did he transfer?
He's in South Carolina still.
He's still, okay.
I was looking at Pro Football Network did one. They had Caleb Williams going 4.
Yeah.
And then Marvin Harrison going 1.
And I don't see that unless Caleb has a bad year. If Caleb looks as good as he has last year, I think he's going to go number one overall.
Drake May going 6. I don't see that going. I think both of them are top 4 picks.
I think it depends on who needs a quarterback. If there's like teams who've got, like, let's say like the Panthers and the Texans are sitting there in the top 4, I don't think they're going to take Caleb. I think they're going to try to trade out of it. Unless they just don't see anything from their quarterbacks. I think those two teams for sure would try to trade out of it.
And Shadur's probably looking about 15 to 20. Sanders.
Yeah. I kind of doubt that he gets drafted first round, too. I think he might be a second round guy.
It could be, but he's going to be throwing the ball a ton.
Yeah. The thing, though, is like Colorado is not like that.
Deion's going to let Shadur throw it all the time.
That's what I'm saying. It's a one win team last year. They have completely overhauled that roster, but it's a bunch of transfers. And you don't know if these transfer guys are going to fit in with what you want in one offseason, especially because a lot of those transfers came in the middle of the offseason, because they did let some guys go after their spring game. So now you're moving guys in and out like they haven't even had a real complete full offseason yet.
Bo Nix is interesting to me. He's been playing college football forever.
He has.
Both at Auburn and now at Oregon. He's a guy that probably will find his way up into the first round at that point. Then the fringe ones, like Jordan Travis at Florida State, I see him as a second rounder. Riley Leonard is interesting because I could see him going. Depends on what happens at the combine, what happens this season. I can see him going a second round as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people really high in this quarterback class, but usually there's some correction that happens here. Usually some of these guys start to fall off. I mean, one of the what was his name? Will Levis, Kentucky. A lot of people thought he was going to be top five, top five in the draft.
Yep.
And he ended up falling to the second round.
I just keep seeing Brock Bowers anywhere from 14th. He's the best tight end in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
14th to 8th is what I've seen Brock Bowers, which is interesting because beforehand you're looking at Brock Bowers as a top five pick.
Bowers might be a top five
pick. Well, we'll see what happens.
I think he might be. If he has a big year this year, I can see someone.
Many times in the top five.
It's August, so I can see him moving up boards. I can see him being up there with, like, maybe right behind Marvin Harrison Jr.
Can't wait to these guys play, man.
Yeah.
Because we already see Darnell Washington, who was behind Bowers last year, start to get some first-team reps with the Steelers.
Exactly, yeah. We're already starting to see some of these guys. And where you just went, I kind of want to go with this as well. Right now, we're starting to see some fruits bear of this current rookie class here. Last Thursday, we saw the Hall of Fame game between the Browns and the Jets, played just an hour away from Cleveland in Canton, Ohio, and we saw some of our guys that we talked about on this podcast back in the spring. In that game, guys like DeJuan Jones, right tackle for the Browns.
Played almost the whole game.
Played almost the entire game. Big dude.
Was not beaten either.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he did well.
There was Israel Abanaconda, running back for the Jets. Yep. There was Cedric Tillman, wide receiver for the Browns. Zach Kuntz, tight end for the Jets.
A lot of people think people are sleeping on Tillman, which, again, he was a first-rounder up until this year.
So, in that game...
Because Jalin Hyatt kind of took his run.
Right, Jalin Hyatt did. He did steal some of his thunder
last shining.
Year. But in that game, Abanaconda and DTR, Dorian Thomas Robinson... Also played in that game as well as third-string quarterback there. Looked pretty good, 8 for 11, 82 yards and a touchdown. Again, he's playing third strings. Not even second strings, third strings. So let's
Like 30 guys.
Exactly.
30 to 36 guys for each team not playing in this game.
Exactly. And on top of that, also vanilla offense, vanilla defense. You're not playing the same defenses you're going to play in the regular season. Offense, the same thing. I mean, like the Browns opened and they ran two straight screen passes to either side of the offensive line.
You'll see a lot of screens.
Ton of screens,
Get your quarterback not hit and then get rid of the football. And then, of course, the lights went out with electricity. And the showers didn't work after the game. There's always something about that damn game.
Oh, because it's an old stadium.
I enjoy it.
But it's not a great game.
Yeah, they didn't play it a couple years ago because the turf and the tape, the paint was sticking to people's feet.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. Abanaconda, 9 carries, 27 yards, and a touchdown. That touchdown run he had was really good. DTR had 6 carries for 36 yards in that game. So
a lot of people like him.
A lot of
people. Again, who are you playing against?
Again, yeah, exactly. And then Cedric Tillman, 2 catches for 35 yards. Zach Kuntz had option for 6 yards. So looking at that game, which of those players, we've talked about all these guys on the podcast, which of those guys to you looked the best?
I think because he played so much, DeJuan. I mean, I'm kind of high on Cedric Tillman. You and I both like Kuntz coming out of the draft.
We did.
But DeJuan wasn't a guy we looked high on. We had him kind of at the bottom of some of the first-round type linemen we looked at. He did start to slide. We understood why. He actually, I thought, pretty good. But again, going against not great talent. Not great talent, so we'll see,
It's obvious something that is... to behold. I mean, I think he's got like almost 36-inch arms. He's 6'7"?
Former.
He's massive, and you could see that. He definitely had an advantage on his opponents as far as the size issue is concerned. My issue with him, he didn't look athletic. Great feet in there. There were times where he was out of position. Hopefully, for his sake, he develops that positioning better. Because there were a couple times there, if he were going against a edge rusher, I would very much question his ability to block some of these edge rushers there. So I think they definitely want to give him some more experience. He definitely needs it. He's got the tools. He's got to do better as far as the technique goes. The guy though I really liked though was Abanikanda.
Will McDonald.
You said who?
Will McDonald from Iowa State.
Yeah,
the edge rusher. He was impressive to me.
You could see the physical attributes with Will. I think the problem though is technical wise, and good bringing him up. I completely forgot he played in that game. Technically,
he showed some.
Technically, you don't see it, but you see the athleticism. Still got to add some weight. Still got to put on some muscle there. But
that's the guy that Chiefs fans really liked.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of us knew that he was
the age.
The age and the size, and it was never going to work. I mean, they drafted a guy similar size to him in B.J. Thompson in, what, the fourth round?
Yeah.
And that was, that was the riskiest they went in that situation. Actually, no, what is it? No, it was the fifth round. Like, that's the riskiest they went in that draft. So, I definitely don't think that he is going to, he was ever going to be their type of guy. He's got to develop the technique. Like, you can see the skill. I mean, you can see the talent, but the skill.
And he was picked 15th.
Yeah, I know. He was probably overdrafted there. So Zach Kuntz, though, was not impressed.
No.
Was not impressed.
This is a game from the shine.
I know. He played most of the game.
Yeah.
He had plenty of opportunity.
And
I didn't see any burst running routes. I didn't see any crispness. There was nothing. He just looked like a guy.
And across the NFL, we're starting to see Luke Musgrave, and we're seeing Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
And Darnell Washington, these tight ends. This is going to be the tight end class. We're starting to see them shine a little bit.
Yeah, and
their respective teams.
Kuntz kind of get left in the dust.
He did that game.
Now, about those tight ends, guys like, you brought up Kincaid. You brought up Musgrave, who looks like he's probably going to be the starting tight end in Green Bay. They're actually lining him up wide.
They like his speed.
They like his speed, which wasn't really something you heard. You heard some about but you heard more route running and everything. But now he's lining up in the slot a lot.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And Kincaid's the next Kelsey. You're hearing in Buffalo.
Yeah, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that for sure. Who from this class do you think has really impressed you the most thus far? Halfway, we're at the halfway point of training camp for most teams. Who do you think has impressed you the most?
As far as, a lot of times we haven't got to see them play yet.
Right.
I guess when you see highlights of what Musgrave is doing in Green Bay.
And you hear the reports.
Or Darnell Washington's going. I haven't got to see Anthony Richardson. I mean, he's 6'4", 255 pounds, getting a lot of the reps with Indianapolis.
Right.
I guess because of the fact that he's a first-round quarterback. Like Will Anderson, we haven't seen yet. C.J. Stroud, we haven't seen yet. Bryce Young, we haven't seen yet. So want to see what these guys can do. Or Bijan Robinson, we're talking about first-round picks. Darnell Wright, the lineman out of Tennessee that went to Chicago this year. I want to see him. But what we've seen so far, what we've heard from, let's say, X clips, has been Musgrave or Kincaid.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of interesting things coming out.
And Jackson Smith too, because he's destroying things.
Yeah, he's killing things in the slot there for the Seahawks.
Slot, it's all he does.
Oh yeah, it's all he does. One guy that's I didn't think he was going to take this early, but one guy you're kind of hearing a lot of good things about is Jalin Hyatt, our guy, receiver out of Tennessee,
fast, makes contested catches, does everything that we thought he would do.
And one of the things you're hearing is that he's a much better route runner than he got credit for during the draft process. And you see the highlights of him.
We're talking
in Giants camp.
Winner too.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's not like he sucked.
And you're hearing that he's a way better route runner than he got credit for. And one of the things you're hearing is that he is really kind of taken to the offense a lot quicker than anyone expected. You see clips of him in Giants camp, and he's out here beating corners on out routes and corners and all of that, and making these tough sideline catches, getting the two toes in right before you touch the white line.
Pick 73.
I mean, this is a third round guy, and this is a guy that we liked in the first round for the Chiefs. And obviously didn't happen. The Chiefs took FAU. I'm really impressed by Jalin Hyatt. Another guy I'm really impressed by, though, that I think could probably exceed expectations, even though I've been advocating us to not have expectations for him, is Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice has taken to this offense better than I think anybody should have ever reasonably expected him to. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be a star in for the Chiefs this year. I'm not even going to say he's going to be much more of a contributor than what Sky Moore was, which was 250 receiving yards last year. But you can tell that there's a level of comfort that Mahomes has with Rashee Rice that he does not have with receivers with his lack of experience that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's something the Chiefs really don't have either.
Yeah.
I think it brings them back to Sammy Watkins a little bit. I think they can see kind of a little bit of him with that. He's got that physicality about him. Now, MVS, as I've always said, he can have that physicality. He's 6'4", runs a 4.37.
I think Justin Ross, too, kind of has some of that in him as well.
But Sky Moore's really developed. I mean, Sky Moore is, for all intents and purposes, this guy's got it now. I mean, he's running great routes. He's
right. Strong. Some correction that happens here. Usually, some of these guys start to fall off. I mean, one of the, what was his name? Will Levis, Kentucky. A lot of people thought he was going to be top five.
Yep.
Top five in the draft.
Yep.
And he ended up falling to the second round.
I keep seeing Brock Bowers anywhere from 14th. He's the best tight end in the country.
Yeah.
14th to 8th is what I've seen Brock Bowers, which is interesting because beforehand you're looking at Brock Bowers as a top five pick.
Bowers might be a top five
pick. Well, we'll see what happens.
I think he might be. If he has a big year this year, I could see someone
many times in the top five.
It's August, so I can see him moving up boards. I can see him being up there with, like, maybe right behind Marvin Harrison Jr.
Can't wait till these guys play, man.
Yeah.
Because we already see Darnell Washington, who was behind Bowers last year, start to get some first-team reps with the Steelers.
Exactly, yeah. We're already starting to see some of these guys. And where you just went, I kind of want to go with this as well. Right now, we're starting to see some fruits bear of this current rookie class here. Last Thursday, we saw the Hall of Fame game between the Browns and the Jets, played just an hour away from Cleveland in Canton, Ohio, and we saw some of our guys that we talked about on this podcast back in the spring. In that game, guys like DeJuan Jones, right tackle for the Browns.
Played almost the whole game.
Played almost the entire game. Big dude.
Not beaten. Was not beaten either.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he did well.
There was Israel Abanaconda, running back for the Jets.
Yep.
There was Cedric Tillman, wide receiver for the Browns. Zach Kuntz, tight end for the Jets.
A lot of people think people are sleeping on Tillman, which, again, he was a first-rounder up until this year.
So, in that game...
Because Jalin Hyatt kind of took his run.
Right, Jalin Hyatt did. He did steal some of his thunder
last shining.
Year. But in that game, Abanaconda and DTR, Dorian Thomas Robinson... Also played in that game as well as third string quarterback there. Looked pretty good, 8-for-11, 82 yards and a touchdown. Again, he's playing third strings. Not even second strings, third strings. So let's
With rosters of like 30 guys.
Exactly.
30 to 36 guys for each team not playing in this game.
Exactly. And on top of that, also vanilla offense, vanilla defense. You're not playing the same defenses you're going to play in the regular season. Offense, the same thing. I mean, like the Browns opened and they ran two straight screen passes to either side of the offensive line.
You'll see a lot of screens. Because
ton of screens, yeah.
Get your quarterback not hit, and then get rid of the football. And then, of course, the lights went out with electricity. And the showers didn't work after the
game.
Yeah. There's always something about that damn game.
Oh, because it's an old stadium.
I enjoy it, but it's
not a great game.
Yeah, they didn't play it a couple years ago because the turf and the paint was thick to the people's feet.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. Abanaconda, 9 carries, 27 yards, and a touchdown. That touchdown run he had was really good. DTR had 6 carries for 36 yards in that game. So
a lot of people like him.
A lot of
people. Again, who are you playing against?
Again, yeah, exactly. And then Cedric Tillman, 2 catches for 35 yards. Zach Kuntz had option for 6 yards. So and so looking at that game, which of those players, we've talked about all these guys on the podcast, which of those guys to you looked the best?
I think because he played so much, DeJuan. I mean, I'm kind of high on Cedric Tillman. You and I both like Kuntz coming out of the draft.
We did.
But DeJuan wasn't a guy we looked high on. We had him kind of at the bottom of some of the first-round type linemen we looked at. He did start to slide. We understood why. He actually, I thought, pretty good. But again, going against not great talent. Not great talent, so we'll see, you know.
It's obvious something that is to behold. I mean, I think he's got like almost 36-inch arms. He's 6'7"?
Former.
He's massive. And you could see that. He definitely had an advantage on his opponents as far as the size issue is concerned. My issue with him, he didn't look athletic. Great feet in there. There were times where he was out of position. Hopefully, for his sake, he develops that positioning better, because there were a couple times there, if he were going against a edge rusher, I would very much question his ability to be able to defend, to be able to block some of these edge rushers there. So I think they definitely want to give him some more experience. He definitely needs it. He's got the tools. He's got to do better as far as the technique goes. The guy though I really liked though was Abaniconda.
Will McDonald.
You said who?
Will McDonald from Iowa State.
Yeah.
The edge rusher. He was impressive to me.
You could see the physical attributes with Will. I think the problem though is technical wise, and good bringing him up. I completely forgot he played in that game. Technically,
he showed some.
Technically, you don't see it, but you see the athleticism. Still got to add some weight. Still got to put on some muscle there. But
that's a guy that Chiefs fans really liked.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of us knew that
he was the age.
The age and the size, and it was never going to work. I mean, they drafted a guy similar size to him in B.J. Thompson in, what, the fourth round?
Yeah.
And that was the riskiest they went in that situation. Actually, no, what is it? No, it was the fifth round. Like, that's the riskiest they went in that draft. So I definitely don't think that he is going to he was ever going to be their type of guy. He's got to develop the technique. Like, you can see the skill. I mean, you can see the talent, but the skill.
And he was picked 15th.
Yeah, I know. He was probably overdrafted there. So Zach Kuntz, though, was not impressed.
No.
Was not impressed.
This is a game for him to shine.
I know. He played most of the game.
Yeah.
He had plenty of opportunity.
And
I didn't see any burst running routes. I didn't see any crispness. There was nothing. He just looked like a guy.
And across the NFL, we're starting to see Luke Musgrave, and we're seeing Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
And Darnell Washington, these tight ends. This was going to be the tight end class. We're starting to see them shine a little bit.
Yeah, and
their respective teams.
Kind of get left in the dust.
He did that game.
Now, about those tight ends, guys like, you brought up Kincaid. You brought up Musgrave, who looks like he's probably going to be the starting tight end in Green Bay. They're actually lining him up wide.
They like his speed.
They like his speed, which wasn't really something you heard. You heard some about that, but you heard more route running and everything. But like now he's lining up in the slot a lot.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And Kincaid's the next Kelsey. You're hearing in Buffalo.
Yeah, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that for sure. Who from this class do you think has really impressed you the most thus far? We're at the halfway point of training camp for most teams. Who do you think has impressed you the most?
As far as, a lot of times we haven't got to see them play yet.
Right.
I guess when you see highlights of what Musgrave is doing in Green Bay.
And you hear the reports.
Or Darnell Washington's going. I haven't got to see Anthony Richardson. I mean, he's 6'4", 255 pounds, getting a lot of the reps with Indianapolis.
Right.
I guess because of the fact that he's a first-round quarterback. Like Will Anderson, we haven't seen yet. C.J. Stroud, we haven't seen yet. Bryce Young, we haven't seen yet. So want to see what these guys can do. Or Bijan Robinson, we're talking about first-round picks. Darnell Wright, the lineman out of Tennessee that went to Chicago this year. I want to see him. But what we've seen so far, what we've heard from, let's say, X clips, has been Musgrave or Kincaid.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of interesting things coming out.
And Jackson Smith, too, because he's destroying things
at
the nickel.
Yeah, he's killing things in the slot there for the Seahawks.
Slot, it's all he does.
Oh, yeah, it's all he does. One guy that's, I didn't think he was going to take this early, but one guy you're kind of hearing a lot of good things about is Jalin Hyatt, our guy, receiver out of Tennessee, guy
quick,
that we wanted.
Fast, makes contested catches, does everything that we thought he would do.
And one of the things you're hearing is that he's a much better route runner than he got credit for during the draft process. And you see the highlights of him.
We're
in
talking
in Giants camp.
Winner too.
I know, yeah, exactly.
It's not like he sucked.
And you're hearing that like, oh, he's a way better route runner than he got credit for. And one of the things you're hearing is that He is really kind of taken to the offense a lot quicker than anyone expected. You see clips of him in Giants camp, and he's out here beating corners on out routes and corners and all of that, and making these tough sideline catches, getting the two toes in right before you touch the white line.
Pick 73.
I mean, this is a third round guy, and this is a guy that we liked in the first round for the Chiefs. And obviously didn't happen. The Chiefs took FAU. I'm really impressed by Jalin Hyatt. Another guy I'm really impressed by, though, that I think could probably exceed expectations, even though I've been advocating us to not have expectations for him, is Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice has taken to this offense better than I think anybody should have ever reasonably expected him to. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be a star in for the Chiefs this year. I'm not even going to say he's going to be much more of a contributor than what Sky Moore was, which was 250 receiving yards last year. But you can tell that there's a level of comfort that Mahomes has with Rashee Rice that he does not have with receivers with his lack of experience that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's something the Chiefs really don't have either.
Yeah.
I think it brings them back to Sammy Watkins a little bit. I think they can see kind of a little bit of him with that. He's got that physicality about him. Now, MVS, as I've always said, he can have that physicality. He's 6'4", runs a 4'3".
I think Justin Ross, too, kind of has some of that in him as well.
But Sky Moore's really developed. I mean, Sky Moore is, for all intents and purposes, this guy's got it down. I mean, he's running great routes. He's strong. He's always had great hands.
Tough catches.
But as far as their rookie season, I'd put Rashee Rice ahead of where Sky Moore was his rookie season.
I agree with
you. Because, again, you bring in Juju, you bring in MVS. It's okay. We're not expecting a ton. But there wasn't much brought in but Richie James. Odell didn't come here.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins didn't come here. They drafted one player in the draft. It was Rashee Rice for wide receiver. I think more expectation put on him. We all know what he did at SMU. Caught three more times what the nearest gentleman behind him was.
I don't think we should – I still don't agree that we should put expectations on him this year, but I think Rashee is at a point where he could very well, very easily exceed the low expectations we had for him because he's really showing. I mean, in when he was in rookie camp, like Andy was pushing him hard. Mm-hmm. Like Andy pushed him really hard in rookie camp. And then when the rookies reported to training camp early, like Andy was on him again. He was getting on his head again. And we heard, you know, first practice that he had in training camp, Rashee Rice threw up, got sick because it was different monster. Andy Reid's training camp is different from everyone else. It's tougher. It's the toughest in the league. And you look at what he's done since then. And again, like, you know, you got some, I mean, obviously Kadarius Toney getting hurt kind of takes away from the competition a bit, but still Sky Moore's had a really good camp. Justin Ross has been the story of camp. MVS is a professional who's been around for a while, and he's obviously going to be in that starting lineup. Justin Watson, he's been iffy. He's been up and down. There's been some really good spots and then some spots where it's like, oh, man, I'm not sure he's going to make it. But Rashee and all of this, the lack of experience, with him having to acclimate to an Andy Reid training camp, I think has exceeded expectations beyond my wildest dreams.
It was their choice. What they wanted. We worked out with Mahomes a couple times, you know, down there in Texas. I'll tell you a guy they really like, Nico Remigio.
They do.
At a Fresno State.
And I don't think he's going to make the team at all.
But they're talking about him, you know, Tobe's talking about using him on special teams in certain aspects. Yeah. But we are looking at one undrafted. Derek Prince looks like the kick returner at this point.
Yeah.
Richie James, the punt return. So Nico's had a good camp, man.
Yeah.
Undrafted wide receiver.
Even in rookie camp, you were hearing about him, like, potentially, like, he was a long shot to get a roster spot, but people were like, this dude, he probably makes the practice squad, and he probably gets picked up by someone else.
There's a couple undrafted. I think Prince makes a team, and I think Boye Doe.
Yeah.
Echo Boye Doe at K-State, the corner. He's gained a little weight, but he's been up there running with the ones. We're talking, again, these undrafted free agents that the Chiefs find.
Yeah.
These guys want, I mean, I'm telling you, the undrafted class is just as good as the seventh round class.
Oh, yeah.
The good ones.
Yeah,
they're paid more, too.
Yeah, they are paid more. Yeah. Denari Prince is making a good amount. He got a good amount of guaranteed money after the draft.
Which is funny about Denari, because at A&M, he had like zero catches because he barely played. At Tulsa, he had, what, 5-2-9 catches last year total, which cracks me up because he's catching everything. Everybody keeps talking about Prince's hands.
That's all you hear about is how he catches everything.
But in college, he didn't catch anything.
Yeah.
At Tulsa, that's the scouting. That's the scouting side. We think this guy's got hands.
Yeah.
And Dinerick is catching. Dinerick will be on this team.
Yeah, I think so,
too. It's what people say, who's going to get the carries. I'm like, well, you know, they'll showcase Clyde. Against the Saints, you'll see a lot of Clyde.
Oh, yeah, you will.
He'll be showcased.
Yeah.
They're going to dangle him out there like a carrot.
Exactly, yeah.
You want Clyde, because Kareem Hunt's going and visiting the Saints coming up here soon, so
yeah.
You want your guy to be in the mix.
Yeah.
Unless the Chiefs are worried about injury and like having four running backs that are capable, Clyde does fit into what they do.
He does, and one of the things they really kind of push for is him to kind of improve his receiving. He's been a little inconsistent with that. I think he was for sure like lost his spot was that Jacksonville game in November when he had those two drop passes in the flats. That was it for him. I was telling people, I was at the game, and I remember telling people, I was like, that's it. Like, this is Pacheco's job now. So, yeah, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for Dinerick to go out there and get that. I do agree with you. I do think Clyde is going to get showcased a lot for a potential trade, probably a seventh rounder. You just get something for him so you don't have to cut him for nothing. Or just let him walk in, so you don't have to let him walk in free agency for nothing. There's a lot of interesting players in camps right now. We're going to start seeing these guys over this weekend now as we get to the start of the regular preseason schedule. Chiefs will be playing this Sunday against the New Orleans Saints at the Superdome, right? And their only preseason game at home is on the 26th against the Browns. We just watched play on this past Thursday. So a lot of coverage we're going to get for you. We're going to continue to preview the position groups for the 2024 NFL draft. We're going to continue to keep talking about this conference realignment as it continues to happen. Because you are hearing some murmurs about Florida State potentially trying to leave the ACC, and certainly that means it'll be a bidding war with the Big Ten and the SEC.
There's some teams in that ACC you'd want, man.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously at the top of that are Clemson and Florida State. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. Were we like 2 weeks away from Week Zero now?
Yes.
Well, this weekend will be 2 weeks from Week Zero.
The 26th, you got a lot of great games.
Yeah, so a lot of great games coming up here. We are going to keep you locked in, keep you updated on all of this, and we appreciate you guys taking your time to listen to us. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero, and this has been the Character Concerns Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.